This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you, Jenny. Good afternoon, conference. It is indeed a pleasure to be a participating delegate instead of holding the hot seat over there. But it's nice to see that the pashmina still is a fashion statement, is it not? Maternity care assistants and roles and new ways of working. Just in thinking on that title, I'm sure you're all well familiar with the old maxim. If you keep on doing what you always do, you will always get what you always got. Unless, of course, you've got no money. And then you get nothing. And reflecting on Neil Dixon's comments this morning on the Institute of Fiscal Studies, where are we sitting, either in the tepid or the cold or the Arctic bracket? It seems maybe we're positively tropical in Scotland, because we have had a significant investment around workforce development and education and support in terms of developing that. So just to give you a little quick glimpse of the diverse nature of Scotland, its remoteness, its rurality, its geographical diversity, as I say. And, of course, as you can see there, we recruit young, and our focus is very much about education and support. Let's look at the demographics of the UK and where Scotland sits in with that in terms of that very shifting landscape. Scotland has a mainland area of well over 28,000 square miles, but it has a rising population, and at the moment it is predicted that it will slowly rise up to over 5.5 million by 2033, but then decline again to below 5 million by 2074. Unlike that, in Wales, Northern Ireland and England, we have an increasing population there, and they are all expected to rise beyond 2031. Scotland is about 25% the size of England, but only has 8.5% of the population. And our birth rate, as I say, is increasing year on year for the sixth consecutive year. So unlike the old Christmas tree pyramid that you might be familiar with in terms of population statistics, where the widest population is at the bottom and the smallest is at the top, we've really had a very inverted tree at the moment, with the population increase in the areas between 65 and 85, as is the case across most of the UK. And that, of course, has had a huge impact upon our workforce, and our potential workforce in the under 60 groups is diminishing significantly. So, the policy landscape in Scotland is crowded, just like it is in the other four countries of the UK. But perhaps for us, we have an integrated approach around health and social care, with a very strong connection between our local authority and health board agendas through concordat relationships there. And the early years framework, which is focusing really around early parenting and those first experiences, straddles very much into health and education and early school experiences. So the five strategic objectives of better health and better care, which is our big, big policy document in Scotland at the moment, which has a strong link around keeping childbirth natural and dynamic in terms of the maternity services, is around wealthier and fairer contexts, working smarter, being healthier, being safer, being stronger, being greener. So it's all in the context of a very strategic and focused policy agenda that our maternity services are moving towards. But inevitably, the challenges are the same, but our solutions are slightly different. And NHS Education for Scotland, which I belong to, its mantra or strapline is better educated staff, better patient care. So our vision really is very much around looking at the innovation and the educational solutions out there in terms of supporting and translating policy into workable activities for staff. This gives you an idea really of the breakdown of our healthcare workforce in Scotland, and you can probably see that the largest proportion there is sitting around 40-41% in terms of nursing and midwifery. And probably if we put up the same sort of pie chart for other countries, we would find a very similar breakdown in terms of support staff and qualified staff between administrative staff and our professional groups. But I want to maybe focus on the impact of our increasing support and administrative staff and how that will impact in a workforce governance point of view on our qualified work staff. So the mantra at the moment is not qualified and unqualified, trained and untrained, but qualified and trained. And certainly it's that trained element where we are focusing our attention to ensure that the support population to our professional colleagues, nurses and midwives in Scotland, are as educated and as trained and as equipped as they can be to provide that supporting role and not a substitution role. So the issues are, again, similar to other areas, very much around sustaining services, looking at multi-professional working and support, which we had a lot of comment on this morning, looking at cross-boundary support, as I said, and our focus on health and social care and looking at workforce governance there is particularly important. Leadership within the organisation, particularly motivation and leadership, acting as catalysts for us to answer that workforce equation so that we can balance the knowns and the unknowns. The knowns are that we have a defined population, it is shifting, our predicted patterns are known, we know what women want, we have a skilled workforce, and we've got a work profile that we know is ageing, both in education and in service. And some of the unknown areas, obviously, are around the future of medical staff supply and perhaps the whole macroeconomic situation, which, of course, will impact upon us hugely. And it probably wasn't at all surprising that Andrew Lansley wasn't able to answer the one focus question around funding with any real authority. So, NHS Education for Scotland focuses around trying to translate policy into workable solutions, and we've developed a number of tools that navigate practitioners' way through that learning maze. Is there a new role at all, or are we just changing and morphing around the edges? I'm suggesting perhaps to you, within the context of maternity services, that the maternity care assistant is a new role in that we have created an opportunity for an individual to work very effectively within a team. And we are shifting the image from this, perhaps, to this. One who really is a supportive, dynamic individual, but not in any way a substitution for the skilled practitioner, which is, of course, the registered midwife. Now, I just want to take you to the career framework, which, again, many of you will be well familiar with, but the area that I particularly want us to draw attention to is this one here, which is the assistant practitioner level 4. And really, at the moment, it's this area here that the workforce is increasing in, and we probably will have a 40-60 split in terms of this population and this population. And this is the one that's going to increase significantly. The assistant practitioner is at level 4 in the career framework, and in the Scottish credit and qualifications framework, that's sitting around level 8, which would translate into a diploma of higher education or a professional development award within our vocational qualifications frameworks. What's important, of course, is not so much that these things exist or indeed that our education and our programmes are drifting towards that level of preparation, but that we have good infrastructure around individuals who are prepared to that level consistently in terms of a job description, clear agenda for change, banding 4, trade union membership, and, of course, ongoing CPD and support. And I'm pleased to see that that indeed is the case. This is the Scottish Credit Qualifications Framework, and the area that, again, I'm talking about is sitting here at level 8, reads across here to a higher national diploma, professional development award, or into a diploma in higher education, which is at SVQ level 4 in terms of vocational qualifications. So there is an opportunity for you to read across and translate qualifications across the 4 countries very easily, and NESS has produced with the relevant 4 bodies in the 4 countries a document that does precisely that as an excellent resource, and I would commend that to you, which you will be able to get on the NHS education stand. So, In terms of our achievements and what the learning is from this piece of work, let's consider this four-phased project. We, way back in 2006, were commissioned by Scottish Government to lead, develop and publish a core competency and curricula framework to prepare maternity care assistants for the NHS. We did that and then went on to commission and design and deliver a flexible, innovative national curriculum, which the University of the Robert Gordon University in Aberdeen very successfully bid for. That occurred in 2007-08. And then phase three is about rolling that out across all of Scotland, perhaps in different models of delivery, but that is commensurate to service requirements, but keeping consistency around its core content and its skill base. And we intend later this year and early next year to commission both a process, economic and impact assessment of this particular activity. So, the framework, copies again available on the stand. A multidisciplinary key stakeholder engagement activity, which took us a good 8 months to a year to both produce and ensure we had buy-in from our professional colleagues and our support colleagues, from our regulatory bodies, from our registration bodies and government policy makers. And the two main outputs of that was the development of a one-year programme, which was largely online. So clearly, as you can appreciate, the prerequisites for entry into this particular programme were significant. We were looking at healthcare support workers who are already in a maternity care environment with a command of IT literacy, who had probably the equivalent of NVQ level 2 in care, which I think most of you might be more familiar with. The equivalent in Scotland would be SVQ level 2 and 3, and most working within a maternity care context. This was really quite a challenging programme for individuals to undertake, but it was largely successful, I might say, by the enthusiasm of the teaching team and the commitment of mentors, particularly midwives, in the respective areas supporting those colleagues in the workplace. And work-based learning was particularly important. The student passport, I think, is an evolving product, and it was critical in terms of looking at the accountability and delegation roles and responsibilities for this particular member of staff. And we spent a considerable amount of time with service providers, clinicians and support workers to ensure that the passport, the skills passport, didn't wander into areas that were clearly inappropriate and inappropriate for an unqualified member of staff. So what we've got is a traffic light system in terms of our skills passport, and this very much details clearly what is not within the remit and the amber areas. This is the red section, obviously, the no-go section. And the amber area is areas where clearly over time these are quite appropriate with good support and infrastructure. Maternity care assistants could rightly and should rightly take on board, particularly when they're prime focus is around acquiring the knowledge and skills and attitudes to support early parenting and successful breastfeeding with new mothers and other vulnerable pregnant groups. And with our very diverse population, with our diminishing skilled workforce, we need to be absolutely sure that we have a skilled and trained workforce supporting our maternity services. So, this was our first cohort. Jubilant, because for many of these women, it was their first opportunity at higher education. Absolutely jubilant. As you can see, out of a first cohort of 26, 17 of them came through with a certificate in higher education with distinction, and that indeed was quite a joyous occasion. Since then, we've had a number of subsequent cohorts going through. I think we're on our second and third cohort at the moment with Robert Gordon University. So our achievements have been, since then, a sustained programme within a higher education framework. The maternity care assistants have now successfully gained membership of the Royal College of Midwives, which I think is a very important arena in terms of them being considered quite legitimately part of the midwifery workforce team. They have got now a very strong lobbying arena in terms of ensuring that their pay and remuneration is commensurate to their skill base and is consistent across the country. We've had considerable interest in this programme out with the four countries, and following the International Congress of Midwives last year, certainly a number of overseas countries were interested in this process. So, the developments so far have been a one-year programme, as I say. We have now moved that into a two-year diploma programme because clearly we're feeling that this is a workforce that is going to grow and develop, and we need to be absolutely clear that this is a pre-registration level of practitioner, given that in Scotland degree-based programmes are the minimum in terms of midwifery education and have been for some time, and really we're building our skilled midwifery workforce at masters and beyond. So we're delighted to indicate that we have a second university who is now on board supporting the rollout of that particular programme in the West and hopes to be recruiting by February 2010. We have a very different model being brokered in the southeast, and that's largely with a further education college. And again, through the educational qualifications framework, we are able to ensure consistency of award, but offer different modes of delivery and different approaches of learning. So, the future expectations in NESS. We certainly plan to continue to support our heads of midwifery, resolve those employment issues, and we're working very closely with the director of the Royal College of Midwives UK Board for Scotland on that regard. We are working very closely with regional workforce planners and service providers, and that's largely our customer base, to ensure that the educational solutions actually model well what service providers are looking for. And we plan to do an impact evaluation of this entire process in 2010-11. So we are transforming our workforce in Scotland. Our maternity care assistant is very valued, an integral member of the team. We have engaged with some mediocrity, obviously. One or two individuals have not been best pleased about this approach. However, I think engagement, partnership, close collaboration, open dialogue, and absolutely being clear about the boundaries of accountability and delegation have been fundamental in ensuring this particular piece of work succeeds. So we started off thinking about, if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got. And I really just wanted just to leave you with two depictions of a fairly famous art piece by Velázquez called Las Minas, and the very same picture being presented by Pablo Picasso, who had got a very different perspective on things. So we have the same elements within that. They're configured differently. They're viewed differently by different individuals. And I feel if we continually just look at things as they are and not imagine beyond that how things might be and how they could be, then really we are not stretching the boundaries of our thinking or our imagination as well as we could. Thank you very much indeed for your attention.